Well, hello, and welcome back to a podcast. Well, not a podcast, talking about podcasts slash tape, talking about one person in particular, Alice Paillettes. Or Alice Paillettes, but it pretty much sounds exactly the same. Yeah. So I don't even get to flex my French.
I was going to say, you were so eager for that chance.
Yeah, I was. Sadly, I let myself and all of you down. But yeah, well, Alice Paillettes, that was a fun one. She was really nice. We actually stuck around talking to her for a while afterwards as well. I'm sure that she's less of a magician and more of a scientist, which again was fun because, as you know, we like to have people on that are a little bit different. And so also something that I found really interesting that I've been thinking about the whole time since is just like the power of the cross-cut force. How she literally said that you can scientifically prove that it is the most fooling force. So anyone out there right now, look at the crosscut force. Use it more in your routines because it's scientifically the most fooling force there is, which is pretty surprising and it's actually kind of crazy. I've been experimenting with it recently, actually. Because I don't know, every time I do it, I feel like there's no way this can work on the audience. And then every time it does. So yeah, crosscut force, one big shout out. Second shout out, I wanted to talk a little bit about my time in France, because why not flex the fact that I lived in southern France for a while?
Yeah, I don't think people have heard about this, have they?
Yeah, I don't think so. Did you know that I speak French, everyone? So
what about Switzerland? Did you ever go to Switzerland?
I actually love Switzerland. I lived there for a while. Yeah, it's fine. You'll be the same once you come back from Macedonia. Trust me. Yeah. You've been dropping it all the time.
Bravo.
Yeah.
Bravo, dobro.
Yeah. I had no idea what you just said.
I don't know if I do either. It's like hello and goodbye, maybe. Like hello and good.
Yeah, you've been listening to them in your sleep, right? So you're pretty good on your phone, too.
I've been listening to something in my sleep.
Okay, we'll leave it at that. So yeah. Magic in France. Interesting because French are pretty cynical people and critical as well. So when it came to performing in France, strangely enough, I didn't actually get that from the audiences. I would say, to be fair, most of my audience was like adolescents. So maybe I would have seen more of that if I performed for more adults. That sounds weird. It was just more like, not adolescence, I guess, more like...
I got robbed by adolescence in France.
You did? You read it?
Well, I mean, I guess it depends, like, how loosely you want to define robbed, but you know the scooters they have there? Where you pay, you get, like, the app, and you scan it, and you pay per minute or whatever. And it was, like, raining, and I don't know. I think we needed like a bathroom break, and there were some public like train stations, so we just parked them outside, which I guess you're not meant to do. I think you're meant to stay on them, maybe, or maybe it's just risky to leave them. And then went to, I guess you know what happens when you take a bathroom break. And then when we came back, like they were just gone, and we're like, oh no. And so we're a little bit stressed. But the good thing about these is if you don't, like if you're not, if the app isn't, I don't know how it works. Maybe it's like location. If you're not close by, they don't go. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or that there's some way that they know that you are the one who has the phone and the app and that like makes it go. So they were trying to like go on them, but they're just super, they don't like go. So they just have to like push them manually, but they were still trying. They were just like pushing them manually around like some parking lot or whatever it was, pavement. Right. And so we went over to them and I was like, yo, I don't want to be causing any scenes, but kind of think those are our scooters. And they were just like speaking to us in French and swearing at us in French, but they were young, man. I was shocked, like they didn't really have much like manners. Like I know it's just a fringe case, but they were rude. Like there was not a lot of respect going on for the elderly, shall I say.
And maybe they were just saying like really nice stuff though, and you just
a cultural misunderstanding, I guess. But man, what was stressful about this though is that you get paid. Yeah, sorry, you pay for the time that they're being used, And so all the time that they're using them, I'm still like paying for it. And like if they just ran off with them, like I would be paying for it. And the way you like cancel it is you have to, I think you have to like take a picture of it, like take a picture that you put it in a safe spot. So I don't know how easy it would be to cancel it if they just ran off with it. Maybe it would have been, I don't remember that well. But
wow, what a horrific.
Eventually we got them back.
Yeah.
Brutal robbery.
Brutal, man.
Yeah. I can't think of anything worse. Yeah. Well, great. Absolutely nothing to do with what I was saying, but thank you for that anecdote.
I got all kinds of friends.
So yeah, performing for
maybe French they just people. Don't like British. I don't know. Maybe they were lovely, but for some reason they just don't like British people that can't speak French. I guess
I can speak French. Just wanted to put that out there. Yeah, so no. Yeah, just in case people forgot. So yeah, performing for them. Yeah, I would say I would agree with you. They're pretty aggressive. As far as like not aggressive, that sounds a bit intense, but like. Once they're impressed, though, you're like in the click. I think like that's kind of a European thing in general. It's maybe, like it's harder to make friends, but once you make the friends, they're like friends for life, you know?
Yeah, like hard to master. No, what is it? Hard to learn, easy to master, but like hard to make friends, easy to stay friends. I don't know.
Right? Yeah. Honestly, though, because I keep up with all my high school friends. You know, like I'm still friends. I could message pretty much anyone I've made friends with in Britain tomorrow, and like I would know 100% that they'd be chill to.
Yeah. How long would that take?
In their house. I do have a lot of friends, so.
Yeah, I was gonna say you might want to get started because if you want to finish tomorrow,
yeah,
it's gonna be a long night.
Yeah, yeah, and I probably have to message a few of them in French as well because you know I do have friends that speak French. So, yeah.
Yeah, let's hope you don't have to message the Switzerland ones as well.
Yeah, no, don't even get me started on how many friends I have in Switzerland.
You know what else is funny about France?
Yeah, please.
I want to tell this story because it was so painful that I feel like I need to get some sort of not a reward, but like there has to be some other output. And like, at least if you guys enjoy this, that was like, doesn't make it worth it, but at least it makes it not a total, like, I don't know, just like a total not, like the event has happened, you know, like it's already happened. So if now I can spread joy by retelling it, I guess that redeems it somewhat.
Yeah.
So I was at this hotel. Dude, I actually forgot. I have another crazy friend story. So let me just backtrack for a minute. I was meant to be staying in like an Airbnb in some really nice, it had like a swimming pool. It was in the countryside in France. I didn't really know how I was going to get there. I was just going to, I don't know, get an Uber or something if that works like that. So, but I was just like, oh, I guess I'll get there. And so the person was messaging me like, how are you going to get here? I was like, yeah, I'll probably just get like an Uber or a Metro or whatever. And that was like the day before. Maybe it was the day before, maybe it was the day off, I can't remember. And then the day that we woke up and we're like driving to the airport, that morning I just checked my like Airbnb notifications and they just like straight up just cancelled my trip. that person, because apparently she was like stressed that I wouldn't be able to find her, which maybe is true, but I don't know. It was still kind of like as we were on our way to the airport, I was like trying to like find hotels because they just like cancelled on me. So that was kind of like stressful, but we found a hotel, booked that. When we got to the hotel, they had like a gym that was, I don't know, you could use it for free if you were at the hotel. And it was just me and my cousin who I'd gone with, who's in France right now, actually. That was why we'd gone. It was like a test in the water. And they have like a treadmill, obviously. And so I was like, you know, we're just running on the treadmill, doing some, throwing a few weights around, doing that kind of thing, just working out.
I just got this image of kind of like Zoolander, where they're like spraying each other with like gasoline. I've just got this image of like, you've not watched Zoolander, have you?
No.
So that's really weird to you now. But yeah, well, I'll probably just leave it at that. Yeah. But
yeah, I don't know.
Some, like, maybe the gay maybe fight. Oh gosh. Oh gosh, I gotta cut that.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Oh, we on? Okay, wait 1 second. I'll fucking 3, 2, 1. I just said something really bad, so it's been cut. Benji, please continue with your story.
Yeah, let's hope you remember, because I don't know if you're going to remember to cut that.
I put it in footnotes. It's all good.
Oh, you did? Okay. So, yeah, I'm there. Maybe it was just pull-ups and stuff. I don't know. Maybe it was body weight. I guess you don't really care about the details. There's a treadmill, and I'm like, okay, let's run on the treadmill. But you know, I'm kind of lazy, so on the way to the gym, I didn't really put my shoes on. I was just kind of like slip them on. You know how you do? Do you do that? Like where you just, you don't actually put the shoes on. You just sort of like put your foot in and it like flattens out the back of it.
Yeah.
You wear it like that. Yeah, people know what I mean. And so I started running on the treadmill like that. And I was doing fine. So I was like, oh, I guess this is kind of easy. I was like, and then I wanted to show off because like, oh, dude, I have such like dexterity and like, man, I really got this thing down to a science. And so I like look over at my cousin. I'm like, hey, bro, check this out. I put it on like full speed. What is it? Like 20, 20 speed, whatever the max is on these treadmills. And I'm just flying, man. I'm like flying. I'm just, ooh, I'm like a gazelle. I'm beautiful. I'm poetry in motion. And then like, I don't know what happened, but something happened. And it's one of those where like, you feel it happening, but there's nothing you can do. And so like something went wrong with one of my shoes. And I just like stumbled to try and make up for it. And the next thing you know, like once you stumble going at like 20, it's like, it's over. But I guess reflexes, I like reached out and I grabbed the sides of the treadmill. So I was kind of like, it was in this really weird position where I'd fallen, like stumbled, fell to my knees, but I was like holding onto the sides of my hands, which meant I wasn't being thrown off the treadmill, but I was wearing jeans. Luckily, I wasn't wearing shorts. I was wearing jeans, but they were ripped jeans. So like the skin of my knee, and my knee was just getting like destroyed by this treadmill because that's all I was on. I was just hanging like with my hands on the side.
What were you thinking?
They were just taking a beating just by the treadmill. They were just taking a beating, and I don't know why it took me so long, but I was just hanging. I was just there, like, oh. And eventually I was like, I just gave in and let go, like fell on my back, got tossed around, thrown off. And
my gosh,
we just laughed about it at the time, but I think I still have some kind of a scar. Let me see. Yeah, I think that's a scar. It's kind of hard to tell in this light, but no, that's a scar. Yeah, I have a scar.
Wow. I think you can't even speak French. That's the worst part of it.
Je peux parler un peu de le français. But that's
c'est vrai.
C'est vrai.
Avec un accent qui
let's not put too much
qui fait vomir.
Emphasis on this section. Yeah. So anyway, that was like a France thing.
Wow. Thank you. Do you want to link that in any way into magic, or shall I just continue with what I was saying?
I think that's a fun creative exercise. So let me think about it for a second. Don't be cocky.
Fantastic.
Bro, I'm telling you, bro, these principles, when you know how to see them, they're everywhere.
Okay. So anyway, the real point of this was you have to be aware of your audience, and you have to angle how you perform, be willing to adjust depending on your audience.
Mm.
As far as you don't want to get so, I mean, it's different if you like perform the same show every night, right? But you still need to have that kind of flexibility when you're performing, that you'll be able to adapt. And also to kind of be fast in noticing things and changing accordingly, I guess. And I guess like maybe we've seen during this podcast in the way of the sarcasm that you've seen throughout about me speaking about the fact that I speak French and having lived in France, you know, if I didn't notice that, Benji would probably be annoyed at me a lot of the time. So if we want to take any sort of lesson out of that, it's don't be cocky, I guess, as well. But yeah, there's actually a copywriting principle. Benji, please add some actual
value. Yeah.
Value.
Okay, here comes the value. You ready? So I was in this gym, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Let me start again. Copyright. I think, yeah, this is an important one. This idea of modulating what you do based on who's receiving it. Okay. So let me start. So copywriting, one thing you learn when you start getting into this stuff is that a lot of people focus on how do I write the best copy? Like how do I, copy just meaning the words you put on the page. Like how do I write the best emails? How do I write the best sales letter? Like, how do I write the most compelling copy? And you actually learn pretty early that the thing that's way more important, they call it like the 40-40-20 rule, where 40% of the success of a promotion is down to the list or the audience that you pick. 40% is down to getting the offer right, and 20% down is down to like the creative, you know, the copy, the images, the actual creativity that you put into it. So 80% is down to the offer and the audience. And that's, so when you're doing copywriting and sales, it's all about starting with the audience and changing your offer and the way you present that offer based on the needs, the wants, the desires, and the kind of psychology of that audience. And I don't think there's a great divide between that and magic. If you start with your audience and you know who you're performing for, maybe it's not even changing the trick, it's just changing elements of presentation and elements of how you do it. And I just think this idea of, even if it's as fundamental as when you really first build out your act, like maybe it's not even the case that you, because I know there's a lot of great magicians who perform the same stuff, but I'd be interested in seeing that. I don't think they perform it the same way
all the time. I mean, maybe that's something we saw with Darren Brown, right?
I was just thinking that, yeah.
Where we saw the same show twice, but it wasn't exactly the same. And obviously that's because he uses a lot of audience participation, which is never a bad thing. But yeah, I agree. I think...
Well, yeah, and the important point is that the first time you saw it, it was in England. Second time was in New York.
Yeah, the patter was very different. There was a lot more jokes towards them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it actually applies pretty perfectly, actually, because we did see him perform with both audiences. And he maintained his personality while appealing to a new audience.
Yeah, I think that's, really that's a good impressive. Point, right? It's not about changing who you are. It's not about like fundamentally changing everything for the different audiences. It's like, how do I present who I am in a way that they'll understand, right? And I guess similar again to sales, like maybe the product, like we have the product and maybe, I don't know, we have the product, okay, but there could be two different audiences that this product might appeal to. We have to pick, first of all, there may be an audience that the product is better for, you know, it's more predisposed to fit well for that audience. But if we had to, and we had to try and fit it to the other audience, we're just going to present it in a different like angle. And my mind's actually going blank, but yeah, I mean, one of the other points is when you're first building this stuff out, or when you're deciding whether or not to add like a certain effect or idea to presentations, don't do that by thinking, how much do I like this, or how good do I think this is, but who is the audience that I most often perform for, and does this like fit to that audience? Because maybe you're not like traveling around a lot, and maybe you are seeing a lot of the same people, but it still applies in that you want to make sure everything you do is audience centric, and how is it going to feel as a member of the audience to be seeing that?
Yeah, I like that. Okay. Well, honestly, I think we've talked enough.
Yeah, just to link it into copyright and final time.
Please.
One example of that might be, we have certain products. We also have an audience that's quite clearly defined, and we kind of, on a decent level, we understand who our audience is. And so whenever it comes to introducing a new product, we always try and think, well, is this going to work with the audience we have? If we decide it is going to work with the audience that we have, then we make sure we write it in a way that appeals to the audience we have. And so if you're listening to this, it's probably because you bought a product, which means we probably wrote the advertising copy in a way that appealed to our target audience. And if you're enjoying and listening to this, hopefully you are enjoying this and the main products, that means we picked the correct audience. So hopefully that's a little bit of a demonstration of that.
Yeah, I think so too. Well, yeah, and also just remember, I don't know, there's power in your personality as far as, yeah, we spoke a lot about just kind of anecdotes here, but hopefully you've enjoyed it. And hopefully it's made the content more enjoyable for you to listen to, as far as we're not just kind of reading out a checklist of, I don't know, you know, a pre-made checklist of things that we learn and just trying to shove content down your throat. We're also trying to be real with you and share life stories. So hopefully in that way, we've been able to do that.
Yeah, and hopefully meandering path we take toward conclusions is evidence of the genuineness of our approach, rather than that we have some sort of preconceived notion of where we're going to end up with these. Right. So, yeah, I mean, shoot us an email if you have ideas about this stuff we're talking about and points we may have missed. We'd love to hear it.
Definitely.
Support@thedailymagician.com for everyone who is willing to take us up on that.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, thank you guys, and we will see you when we see you.
All right.
All right.